Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast with me. I'm Kaizad Adajania. In our last week's episode, we had spoken about cryptocurrencies, whether crypto coins are investments or are they a currency, and how much should you invest in them if you're fit enough for cryptos. But investing in cryptos is not that simple. For example, did you know that there are 4,000 cryptocurrencies in the world, and the total market capitalization of the global cryptocurrency market is about $1.62 trillion. That's how big the crypto market is. So how should you decide which coins should you be investing in, or which coins should you be buying, which coins should you be selling? I have with me in the studios today Swapnil Pawar, founder of ASQI Advisors, to take us a little deeper into cryptos today. Swapnil is also a regular columnist at Money Control. Hi, Swapnil, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Kaizad. Thanks for having over.
Thanks for coming over, Swapnil. Let me just ask you straight away, because I know you've been writing columns for Money Control. You've written for us on cryptocurrencies also, and I know that you have been investing in cryptocurrencies yourself. So first question is that there is no underlying as such an asset which forms part of a crypto coin. But, you know, when we talk about cryptocurrencies, we talk about technologies. For example, blockchain is something that we talk about very frequently when we refer to Bitcoin. So how is the technology underneath a cryptocurrency so important? And does it influence your decision to buy a particular cryptocurrency and avoid another one?
So I must tell you that I used to be an absolute skeptic of Bitcoin and all things related to it till quite recently. And I took the advice of another savvy investor who was not into cryptos and then got introduced and invested later on, that if you want to understand this space, spend a day away from all distraction, read up about blockchain and then connected logic of cryptocurrencies, and you will understand why it's interesting and important. So while there is no inherent value in a cryptocurrency, the underlying technology of blockchain is revolutionary, to say the least. And it's essentially the so-called Internet of Value. Till now, we've been using what can be called Internet of Information. We've been sending bits around the network, files and, you know, requests to order food and so on and so forth. But all the money still went around in controlled manner amongst banks, from you to stock exchange, broker to you and so on. So that part is what is now getting converted into a so-called Internet of Value, using the blockchain technology. So only two words come to mind which summarize everything. They're too technical, but good to leave them with listeners. One is immutable, and second is decentralized. Immutable means you can't change it after the fact, the record of the thing. And decentralized means no one person or institution controls it. That summarizes the essence of blockchain. And the first instance of this was Bitcoin.
Okay. So are you saying that blockchain is a technology which started off with Bitcoin, but eventually people realize that they can actually use the technology in other spheres of life also, and that is what gives Bitcoin so much of importance? Is that the reason?
Absolutely. Because Bitcoin itself was started by Satoshi Nakamoto as, I mean, the unknown person actually, in 2009 or so, as simple peer-to-peer payment network, nothing else. Okay. He was trying to do, or she was trying to do, was to say, here's a way to send money over internet without involving a bank. And that's all there was. Later on, it turned out, as people actually used the technology for trying out various combinations and Bitcoin became more mainstream, let's say, it essentially came to people's attention that this is not a currency, but actually digital gold, because it's finite. There are only ever a finite supply of Bitcoins that will be ever created. Algorithm finite. Okay. And it is non-replicable. So scarce. You can't have two Bitcoins of the same value. So that made it more like digital gold than like a currency. And then there are multiple generations of blockchains and cryptocurrencies which built on that basic premise.
So the blockchain technology, we've spoken in context of Bitcoin, but there are so many Bitcoins, as I said about, and you'll know that better than me because you invest in cryptocurrencies. There are about 3,000 cryptocurrencies out there in the market. The technology is the same across all cryptocurrencies or across most cryptocurrencies? Because I'm hearing things about Ethereum, how Ethereum technology is different from Bitcoin blockchain. So different cryptocurrencies have different technologies, Swapnil?
I would say so. They are broadly classified in three generations, actually, based on the complexity of the technology. And in each generation, there are multiple different flavors, let's call it, based on use cases and so on. Bitcoin itself is the first generation cryptocurrency because it is only good to make payments and nothing else. So all that I can do is I can give you some Bitcoins in exchange for some money that you might have given me or vice versa. That's it. Technically, the blockchain doesn't even record the fact that I gave you money. It just records the fact that you give me Bitcoins and it only confirms that you had the Bitcoins to start with and now I have them. Yeah. That fact is immutable, but there is no record anywhere of the fact that I gave you X dollars or Y dollars for it. That's all on the exchanges and in personal records. On the chain itself, the blockchain itself, the only record is you had X Bitcoins and out of that you gave me Y. And now I have Y and whatever my original balance.
And that was the whole idea behind it. No? I mean, decentralization, nobody controls it.
That was the original idea. Right? That's the currency idea, as I called it. And that is beyond point, not very useful. And I'll come to that separately. What's more important is, so in the first generation, there are a lot of copycats of Bitcoin. Some good, some not so good. Okay. And many of them are still around. And there are some variants also, like Bitcoin Cash. It's supposed to be a bit more efficient, but it doesn't have the same decentralized technology. It compromises that for making it a bit more quick and low cost.
Okay.
So there are variants in first generation. Then you come to second generation, which is Ethereum and all its avatars. What Ethereum allowed was creation of the so-called ERC-20 tokens. In a nutshell, it just allowed an explosion of coin creation. And there was almost a mania of so-called initial coin offerings and a lot of scams around that. Bad name for crypto world in general. But Ethereum itself is actually a very interesting technology. It allows smart contracts, which essentially means you can write contracts like loans and transactions, two-way transactions into the code. So there is this whole famous saying of code is the law. So you don't need enforcement by a third party like a court or arbitrator. Code either checks whether the transaction is valid or invalid or some conditions are met for the transaction to happen and nobody can dispute that. It just happens. You can't go back and change it. So it's a generalized version of transactions. In transactions, once I pay you or you pay me, that's final. In smart contracts, you can make it more complex and think, I lent you, then you gave me some collateral for it. And if you didn't pay me back, then the collateral becomes mine, not through enforcement, but automatically.
So Ethereum, the technology that Ethereum is based on, that technology then can be adopted to various other spheres of life, as you know it, whether it is in banking or finance world or other places. Absolutely. Also. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, think of a simple stock exchange, right? When I buy a stock, I pay the money to the broker today. And I buy the stock. I get the price of today, sure. But I get the stock in my demand account 2 days later. So this is called T+2 settlement. Using Ethereum and smart contracts, using the so-called decentralized exchanges, I won't go into the technicality of that, but you can actually make this happen in seconds or maybe minutes at most.
Is it happening anywhere in the world?
So coin switches are like this. So any coin switch that happens, think of it as I'm exchanging a Reliance stock for Infosys stock. Instead of paying for either of them in money, you have Infosys, I have Reliance, and we exchange the stock. In the crypto world, that is happening today, instantaneously without a third party and in the so-called DEXs, decentralized exchanges. Okay. And that technology is not cryptocurrency specific. It can be used for settling, even buying and selling of stocks on the stock exchanges or bonds or any other things.
What do you think will happen for this technology to be implemented in the real world in other spheres of life?
That's where the third generation becomes important because Ethereum, as versatile as it is, the technology still allows fairly basic stuff. Okay. Most of the things that it allows is useful inside the crypto world. So you can do lots of things like issue new tokens and exchange your tokens in complicated contracts and all, but it doesn't link to the world, real world. Okay. And so that's where the third generation coins come into a picture, or third generation cryptocurrencies come into picture. They are quite versatile. They allow the so-called oracles, they call it, which essentially links to the world. So you can actually write a forward contract on Nifty. And so that's a real life linkage. And you can even settle it using a Singapore dollar, for example. Okay. That's also a real world linkage. That's the third generation work currently happening.
So Swapnil, earlier you were saying that you're talking about cryptos, you're talking about the sophisticated technology that's underlying every crypto. That is what gives a lot of credibility to crypto. But the counterpoint is that cryptocurrencies, for so many years, they've not had a good name. because, you know, you can, they're not regulated. You know, you could buy a lot of things on the dark web, ransomware, etc., etc. That's one. The second point you mentioned in your answer a little while ago that, you know, the original when Bitcoin was launched, there were a lot of copycats also. So that also kind of negates or rather paints a slightly negative picture of crypto. Okay. But given the larger potential that the cryptocurrencies have with regards to the underlying technology that and the promise of the underlying technology that it has, how do you select a good coin from a not so good coin? I mean, is there a selection? I mean, there are 4,000 cryptocurrencies out there. I'm sure people will have to rack their brains to decide what to buy, what not to buy, right? So how do you decide that?
So I am actually a big fan of crypto domain for its blockchain applications rather than its currency applications. I don't really think of crypto currencies as currencies. That's just a name that has stuck. But I would never think of it as a stable unit of value of anything. And so it essentially is a very high quality technology, very revolutionary technology, which should be used for many other purposes than just saying, you know, payments made easier through it. And then Bitcoin, supposed to serve that purpose, doesn't quite do it. How to tell a good coin from bad coin? I would say one has to look at the technology underlying the coin. What is the technology that is creating the coin? Or what is the technology behind that coin? So for example, I'll give you a good third generation example of Matic or Polygon, a Bangalore-based company.
Yeah, where your Mark Cuban has also just recently invested.
Exactly, the same one. So these guys are essentially building on top of Ethereum. So they're not creating a new chain per se, but they're making Ethereum more versatile. And I won't get into the technicality, but it is actually making it smarter. Still smarter. So that's a technology that can dramatically improve the adoption of blockchain. Likewise, Chainlink or Cardano, these are all interesting technological experiments. None of them are guaranteed to become 100x or 1000x, but all of them are interesting experiments versus a Dogecoin is one of the obvious examples of a scam or a fad, right? Because it has no real value. It is created as a joke. It has no revolutionary technology underlying it. It is a copycat, as obvious a copycat as there can be. And there are a lot of other such dodgy variants. So I would stay away from any of them. Most of them are essentially like penny stocks. You won't touch a penny stock on NSE or BSE, right? Likewise, you will stick to your large caps and then you will have some mid caps and small caps, which are interesting. You'll want that to be the next Page Industries or the next iShare Motors. So you think of Bitcoin as Maruti, which has been like large cap out there, will probably be stable enough. And you can think of Ethereum as iShares Motors, which is fairly established. It's now gone a fair distance, but it still has a lot of potential. And or Page Industries, which also has done really well. And then I can't name any small caps that come to my mind, but that like these third generation coins, which you have to do research. Otherwise,
but you have to do research. You have to read up on the technology. You have to do research. You just can't just go. It's not like buying something on the shelf from a Kirana store. Okay. Like, I mean, you need to read up a lot. You need to understand what is the application of that particular underlying technology to your real world. How will it take the whole concept of that coin forward rather than just being, as you said, a joke, which was what you said, Dogecoin. Was conceived to be. Okay. Last question, Swapnil, and I think you've partly answered that before, but I want to ask this question again separately for the benefit of our listeners. Cryptocurrency, is it an investment or is it a currency? Originally, it was conceived to allow you to sort of spend on the internet as to buy things, right? You know, you can't still do that. So what is it?
Short answer, and I feel very strongly about it. Cryptocurrency is a misnomer. It's crypto assets or crypto tokens. That's the right way to look at it. And it is definitely an investment and not a currency in any form. If you want to buy into cryptocurrency, think of the technology and invest in it. Think of it as buying a high-quality dot-com company in 2001. There would be thousands of bad ones, and you could lose your money in just a month if you buy into those. You find the right dot-com, like you find the Google, for example, or Yahoo, or any other high-quality Amazon, Microsoft, that sort of company, you will make a lot of money. So you need to find those. They're definitely not currencies. They're definitely investments, if at all.
I like the analogies that you're giving vis-a-vis stock investing. It just makes the whole concept a lot easier. You know, large cap, mid cap, small cap.
That's good.
That's good. Anyways, that's all time that we have today. Swapnil, thank you so much for joining and enlightening us, our listeners, as to what cryptocurrencies. I mean, this is like it's a moving topic. It's a growing topic and we've just started. And I'm sure we'll have many more conversations around cryptocurrencies in the future. So keep writing on Money Control. Keep coming up on Simply Safe to elaborate and explain more and more on cryptocurrencies. It was nice talking to you, Swapnil.
Thanks, Kazal, for having me over. Thanks.
Thank you. And that's all, folks, we have for you today. Stay safe, stay masked, and we'll be back in another exciting episode of Simply Safe podcast next week. Thank you for listening.